The gospel lesson today is taken from Matthew chapter 25. Then again, the kingdom of heaven could be likened to 10 attendants who took their lamps and went to meet the bridal party. 5 of them were wise. 5 were foolish. When the foolish ones took their lamps, they didn't have any oil with them. But the wise ones took enough oil to keep their lamps burning throughout the night. The bridal party was delayed, so they fell asleep. At midnight, there was a cry. "Here comes the bridal party. Let's go out to meet them." Then all the attendants rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "Perhaps there won't be enough for us. Run to the dealers and get more for yourselves." So, while the foolish ones went to buy more oil, the bridal party arrived, and those who were ready went to the marriage feast with them, and the door was shut. When the foolish attendants returned, they pleaded to be let in. The doorkeeper replied, "The truth is, I don't know you." So, stay awake, for you don't know the day or the hour. This is the gospel of the Lord. I bet you've stayed awake nights wondering what a big hit song from the early 1600s might have sounded like. Let me show you what a big hit song of the early 1600s sounded like. Wonderful hymn is known as the King of Chorales. It's one of the greatest hymns ever written. It was written in 1597 by Philip Nicolai, who followed Martin Luther as one of the last in the Meistersinger traditions, where the writer of both the text and of the tune were the same person. In not very many years after this, those two jobs were separated, with one person writing the text, one person writing the tune. Philip Nicolai was one of the last of these great Meistersingers' traditions. He was born in 1556 in Waldeck, Hesse, in Germany, and he was the third of 8 children. Let me just go back. Whoops. Show. Can I go back? And back one more. There we go. He was the third of 8 children, and he himself was the son of a Lutheran pastor. And just to kind of give you an overview, he died in 1608. His father, as I mentioned, was a Lutheran pastor. And Nicolai was sent to study. In fact,
He had a lot of education. His early education was in Hesse, where he had grown up. But then he entered the University of Erfurt. Does that word sound familiar? That's where Martin Luther entered the monasteries at Erfurt. And he also studied at the University of Wittenberg, which was a really important university of the time, in this time post-Reformation. So again, he followed in this wonderful tradition of Martin Luther. He was himself ordained to the ministry. You can see a photo of the church, which still stands, where he was ordained and appointed his first ministry. And then what happened next in his life was very, very important, because he went to Nidelwildungen and he became the pastor to Countess Margaret Waldeck, and more importantly, a tutor, her son. This was her firstborn son, Wilhelm Ernst, which means that he was the heir of this noble house. He moved around a bit. He passed in different places, and you can see that I've outlined them all for you. It's not important to the story. Just take it that he was very educated. But here in 1596, he became the pastor at Una, Failia. We'll take one more. And in 1597, a terrible plague. This plague, which happened, began in July 1597. In July of that year, over 300 people from his parish died. Just take a minute to absorb that. 300 people from his parish died. What would that do to your heart? These people that you would have been so closely connected to. In August, another 150 people died. In all, during this pandemic, 1,300 people from that area died. Definitely. As it would have been the case in many congregations of that time, as the pastor, Nikolai lived in the house beside the church. And as Pastor Laura talked about, behind the church was the cemetery. So sometimes they had 30 burials. And he, with his home being right beside the church and cemetery, he would have had no release from this trauma of this death that surrounded him. But what really took his heart was when his former student, Wilhelm Ernst Waldeck, died as a result of this pandemic. And so, trying to deal with grief and yet trying to provide some sense of hope for his parishioners, he wrote this wonderful treatise, part of which says, "I leave this to behind me, if God should call me from this world, as a token of my peaceful, joyful Christian departure, or if God should spare me in health, to comfort other sufferers with whom he should also visit with the pestilence." And then he wrote three hymns. In his whole lifetime, he only wrote four hymns, but two of these hymns that he wrote during this time of pandemic have become known as two of the greatest hymns of German chorale repertoire. One is known as the king of corrals and the other as the queen. And this is an important change in how hymnody was written at this time, because hymnody in the time post-Reformation was often citing of scripture, parts of the liturgy, or teaching hymns. I think of the 29 verses of Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, written by Martin Luther. But now begins a new era, a new development in hymn writing that takes on a more objective, a more personal kind of devotional character. And this, of course, was a result of the personal trials and the tribulations associated with this time. So this great hymn that I played for you, The King of Chorales, known by its German words, Wachet auf, ruft uns die Stimme, wake awake, for night is crying. And as I mentioned, it's known as The King of Chorales, one of the great hymns of our time. And although it was written in 1597, it was published in 1599, together with another hymn that you would know, Wie schön leuchtet, is oh, how lovely shines the morning star, which today we associate with Epiphany, but in its time was a funeral hymn. So Wachet auf appears in our hymnals as Wake awake, for night is flying. This is how it appeared in its first publication. And this preface was written by Nikolai. Day by day, I wrote out my meditations, found myself, thank God, wonderfully well, comforted in heart, joyful in spirit, and truly content. I gave to my manuscript the name and title of A Mirror of Joy, to leave behind me, if God should call me from this world, as a token of my peaceful, joyful Christian departure, or, if God should spare me in health, to comfort other sufferers whom we should also visit with the pestilence. The reason we're thinking about this hymn today is because this hymn is based on the gospel, which we just the story of the 10 wise and 10 foolish attendants in a bridal party, some who had the foresight to think ahead to what they might need, and others who arrived without preparation. Of course, this text is often used to remind us. I always think of my mother when I text, you know, who before I left for school every morning would remind me that I should make sure I was well prepared. Make sure he did the same for you. But also in this text, Nikolai very wisely combined it with other ideas to bring comfort. Takes part of or excerpts of Revelations chapter 19. Then I heard like a great multitude, rushing waters and the loud peals of thunder and shouting, Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to wear. And then the angel said to me, write this, Blessed are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. But he added, these are the true words of God. And he also makes reference to Revelations chapter 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate of a single pearl. The great street of the city was gold, as pure as transparent glass. In including this little excerpt from Revelations, Nikolai is wanting us to picture heaven, the gates made of pearl, the streets paved with gold, this idea that heaven, being a glorious place, to which we someday will. And also, Nicholas refers to this beautiful verse from Corinthians. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Now, I mentioned earlier that Nicolai wrote this in response to student Wilhelm Ernst. And as was common in this time period, composers often hid little clues or little symbols in homage to others. So if we look at the German words, which of course what Nicolai would have written them in, there are three verses. And you'll see, Wachet auf is the first verse. Seien hört die Wächter singen is the second verse. Gloria sei dir gesungen is the third verse. And what he has done is he has made an acrostic backwards, Graf, son, to Waldeck, the son of Waldeck. So in the way that he used the words of the various verses, he has written a homage to his student. In the other hymn of this time that he wrote, there are eight verses, and it spells out his whole name, which is very, very cool when you see it. I was going to talk to you about the structure, the musical structure of this piece, because I find those things interesting. I'm not sure you would find it as interesting as me. And if you'd like to talk about it, I'd be happy to do that with you. But as I've been reflecting on this wonderful hymn, and Nicolai thinking about his own death, possibly faced in this pandemic, I've been thinking a lot about others who have been in situations where imminent death was probable. How did they think for themselves about their coming death? And how did they prepare, like the wise maidens? I think about the soldiers in World War I who stood in the trenches. What went through their mind as they waited for their turn to go up over the top, knowing that in no man's land their chance of survival was very slim? What went through the minds of our World War II soldiers on that fateful day in 1944 when they stormed the beaches of Normandy? As they rode the choppy waters of the English Channel in their crafts, many of them seasick, knowing that once they left their landing craft and scurried their way up the Juno Beach, their chance of survival was slim. And I wonder, too, about our frontline healthcare workers who every morning don their protective equipment to care for those who are ill or requiring testing. What goes through their minds each day as they contemplate that their actions to help others place them at risk? And then we have to stop and think a little bit about, well, many of us don't really think of ourselves, just like those foolish maidens, those foolish attendants in our story. Many of us know that this time in our life will come, but it's sometimes hard to be motivated to think about preparing for it. Sometimes it seems like that situation is a long time off. These last weeks of the church year, which remind us of the coming of the end, our own end, the world's end, are really time of motivation for us to take that time to think. Remember Nikolai's preface where he says that this might be a comfort for other sufferers. I wonder if you ever imagined that 400 years later, we would still be singing this hymn, reading these words, finding inspiration and comfort from his own meditation. I encourage you to think carefully at the words he so wisely wrote for us, and I'll invite the girls to share this music with you.
Zion hears the watchman. angel choirs around your throne. No eye has caught the light, nor ear the thundering might of such glory. There we will go. What joy will